Glad to see everyone back with us here this evening as we continue our study on prayer and what we can do to be better in our prayer life tomorrow than I am today. Talked this morning of four things that hindered our prayer lives. Praying without faith, trying to pray selfishly with a prideful heart, hindering our prayers when we pray in that prideful way, and praying selfishly as well. And we hinder our prayers when we pray while trying to hide sin. We talked about the various different kinds of prayers, the supplication prayer, the conversation with God, just talking with Him, intercessions, and giving of thanks. This evening I want us to take the time to look at Jesus and His prayers, an example that He is to us in that. Before we get to His particular prayers, though, I want to ask this question. Who was Jesus? We talked a little bit about His nature, His deity this morning in our Bible class, but I want us to look at this a little more closely. As Jesus saw the need for and the value of prayer, who was He? Come with me to John chapter 1, passage that we're familiar with concerning Jesus and His deity. John chapter 1. After all, this is what John was concerned with when he wrote this book, showing that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." We read in Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." And then you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, of course. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 26, He talks about the creation of man and dominion being under Him. So Jesus was God. He is deity. Friends, also, He's both God and man. Going back to John chapter 1, look at verse 14. The same Word that was in the beginning with God, and that same Word that was God, all things being made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, that same Word, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That same Word became flesh. That is, Jesus the Christ. Turn with me now to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So as we look at Jesus, Jesus the man, as both God and man, we see this person, this man, make himself a servant. He made himself of no reputation and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here, friends, we find our perfect example of prayer when we look at His life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, as we talked about this morning, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Friends, Jesus knows what it's like to live upon this earth as a human being. And as God, friends, He's able to be on equal footing with man and equal footing with God, the Father. And so He can tell God, "I understand this. I know what they're going through." And so as we go to God in prayer and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Jesus is able to intercede then for us. You see, as we think about that as well, though, when you think about Jesus as a man, oftentimes, I think we harm our thought process. We harm the idea of Him being a man. We don't think about it often enough. You think about it, friends. He went through the same growth stages you and I do. He was born of a woman, was He not? Mary being His earthly mother. He went through childhood and everything that goes with it, friends. That means he also went through the awkward stages of being a teenager as well, didn't he? He went through all of that. He had to endure those things. He went through adulthood, Luke 3 and verse 23. And not only that, friends, he had the same physical needs that we do. Did Jesus need to sleep? Absolutely. He was a man, wasn't he? Did Jesus need to eat? Yes, we read about him being hungry in Matthew chapter 4. Satan wasn't a fool, was he? When Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, what's the first thing he tempted Jesus with? Food. Man hadn't eaten for 40 days. I bet he's hungry. Wasn't crazy. Jesus needed to eat. Jesus needed rest. We talked this morning, did Jesus ever get angry? Yeah, he had the same types of emotions that we did. He was joyous at times, John 15 and verse 11. He felt sorrow, John 11 and verse 35. Shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. Also, he experienced love. John 11, verse 3, as well as verse 5, verse 36 as well. But friends, when we look at Jesus as a man, perhaps most importantly, we see Jesus, God in the flesh, turning to the Father in prayer. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we read of Jesus, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke 5 and verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Matthew 14, 22 and 23, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Friends, if Jesus being both God and man, if he needed prayer, how much more then do we? We need, friends, to have a relationship with God in prayer. To go to him in prayer. When we look at the life of Jesus, he showed the value of prayer. You look at Jesus and as he prayed in association with his baptism. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Look at verses 21 and 22. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. The heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from the heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So we see Jesus praying at a crucial time in his life, at his baptism. We see Jesus praying the night before he chose the 12 apostles, there in Luke chapter 6, if you want to turn over a couple of pages. Look at verses 12 and 13. Luke 6. 12 and 13, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Friends, what do we see? Jesus doesn't do hardly anything, does he, without consulting the Father in prayer. This was a major decision that he's about to make, wasn't it? He's going to choose the 12 that would be ultimately responsible for the kingdom coming upon this earth as far as preaching the gospel. Matthew 16 and verse 18, where he gave Peter and the other apostles the keys of the kingdom of heaven. As B.J. so aptly preached during last week, whatever they would preach concerning or whatever they would bind on earth would have already been bound in heaven. Whatever they would loose on earth would have already been loosed in heaven. Gave them the keys. This was a major decision, so what does he do? He goes and he prays. How long? All night. All night. Friends, let me ask a question. When was the last time we spent all night, or at least more than 2 or 3 minutes, in prayer to our God? When's the last time we had a long heart-to-heart, so to speak, with the Father in heaven? Even as he's about to be betrayed by Judas, on that very night, where do we find our Lord? We find him in the garden in prayer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Let's begin reading in verse 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26. We see him praying at the table, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. There's a prayer there. And break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, another prayer, and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drop down to verse 42. He went away again. He's already in the garden now. He's already gone once and prayed. Verse 42, he went away again the second time. And prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Look at verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. How fervent was Jesus in his prayer? At the crucial times of his life, we find Jesus, in a manner of speaking, hitting his knees. He went to the Father in prayer. I also want us to notice something here in each of these cases. Go back, and as we were talking about in Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, and Matthew 14, what does he do in each of those occasions? In Mark chapter 1, he gets up before everybody else and goes to a secluded place to pray. In Luke 5 and verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness. Again, he secludes himself from everyone else. And he prays. In Matthew 14, 22 and 23, he sends his disciples away, puts them on a ship to go to the other side, sends all those that had just listened to him preach somewhere else, and there in the evening, where does he find himself? He was there, the Bible says, alone. Friends, we ought to pray more than just sitting down at the dinner table. God deserves our attention more than that. There are times when we just need to be alone with the Father. Jesus shows us that. He shows us the value then of prayer, especially at the crucial times of life when we need to make decisions. So what are some things that we can learn from Jesus and his prayers? Number one, we learn, friends, that we must direct our prayers to the Father. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we read, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. We find there a shortened bit of a version of the model prayer, teaching his disciples to pray. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. We are to direct our prayer unto what? Or unto whom? The Father. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to whom? God and the Father by his authority, by him. Our prayers are to be directed unto the Father. Jesus taught us that. Those were his own words to his disciples, weren't they not? Pray to the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, he says. So we learn to pray to God the Father. Also, number two, we see that Jesus believed in earnest and urgent prayer. Friends, the word earnest means a serious mental state. Urgent means requiring immediate attention. I want you to notice the examples that Jesus used. Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, look at verses 5 through 10. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What does Jesus teach here to his disciples? A man goes to his neighbor, a friend, at midnight. Already in bed, his children are in bed all around him. It's not going to be very convenient for him to get out of bed and do as he's bid. And so rather than tell him, Jesus says, trouble me not, I'm not going to give you these loaves. Rather than have the man stay at his door and continue to beg him, he's going to get up and he's going to give it to him. Because of the inconvenience of having a man at his door. And not only will they give him the 3 loaves, how many is he going to give him? As many as he wants. And so Jesus goes into then concerning the Father. Ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. Go to Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 3 through 5. Again, notice the example that Jesus gives. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, talking about going to a judge, I believe. He came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. All right, verse 2, there is in a city a judge. Okay, so the widow's going to the judge. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What is Jesus teaching? Don't pray about something one time and then forget about it. How many times does this woman go to the judge? The Bible says, Jesus says, he would not listen to her for a while. Now, for a while. I don't know how long this while was, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, I had no idea. But finally, she wore him down and said, I will avenge her just so she'll leave me alone. Now, the comparison is, here's a man that does not love God, does not regard man, but he's still going to give her what she wants. How much more then will the Father answer his children? What's Jesus teaching us? Be urgent and earnest in our prayers. When Jesus was in the garden, how many times did he pray the same thing? 3 times. Warning the cup to pass from him. We saw that, didn't we? 3 times he goes and he prays the same thing. Jesus is teaching us there a lesson, friends. Again, Matthew 7 and verse 7, as we read there in Luke 11, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What's the idea here? You're not supposed to ask just once. It is to be something continual. Seek and ye shall find. Friends, what does it mean to seek? What does it mean to seek? To search, right? But not just to search diligently. It's not so, you know, mom tells you to go find something in the fridge. Say a jar of mayonnaise. Most kids will go in there. I know I did as a child. I would open the door. I wouldn't move anything around if I didn't see it. Mom, I can't find it. We've all been there, right? Did I seek? No, I didn't. I looked. That wasn't seeking. What's Jesus telling us? Be persistent. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Knock continuously. Ongoing thing. Friends, we must persist in our prayers until we have an answer. In Romans 12 and verse 12, Paul writes, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Paul also writes to Timothy that he was to be instant in season, out of season. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean to be instant? Continue steadfastly. Do not be deterred. remain instant then in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Hope we all know this one by heart. Pray without ceasing, right? Friends, we are to be continually going to our Father in prayer. Jesus teaches us many things concerning prayer. One of the most important is to be earnest and urgent in our prayers. I want us to notice and break down two specific prayers that Jesus gives us. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Let's look at the model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What do we see here? What are different aspects of this particular prayer that we see that we can take from and put them in our own prayers? Number one, we see Jesus praising the name of the Father. Our Father which art in heaven, then what's the next line? Hallowed be thy name. What type of reference is that to God's name? It's a reverent attitude, isn't it? Putting God's name above every other name. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. No other name can touch that name. And so in his prayer unto the Father, and he's teaching his disciples, praise needs to be included in that. We need to be praising the Father in our prayers. But then he begins to make petition. Okay, he begins to ask the Father there in this example prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, verse 11, our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so we see their petition, asking Father for the things that we need. Okay, then we see pardon in this prayer. Notice as Jesus continues to pray, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ask for forgiveness of our sins. That needs to be a part of prayer. Providence as well. Notice as Jesus continues to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these are four aspects of prayer that we can include, that Jesus teaches us that we can include in our own prayers. Praise, petition, pardon, and providence. We can ask God and give to God in our prayers all of these things. And then we look at Mark 14 and verse 36. As Jesus is hanging upon the cross, as he's in the garden, not upon the cross, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. But friends, I really want us to pay attention here to what happens concerning this particular prayer as Jesus is in the garden. We notice four things about this prayer as well as we did the other. Number one, notice how intimate Jesus is with the Father. Abba, Father. Friends, that's a tender term. Now, as Jesus was indeed the only begotten Son of God, he could have that type of relationship with God. But friends, I want you to think for a moment. How did David refer to the Father in heaven? As his friend, did he not? David would carry on a conversation with God as if he was talking to a friend here upon earth. Friends, we're not to be standoffish when it comes to praying unto our God. We need to address Him in an intimate way. Are we not His children after all? Can we not go unto the Father in heaven as if He were our own earthly Father? We ought to be able to. Jesus gives us that example. He tells those that would follow, or those that were hearing Him speak, as we noticed a little bit this morning, if your son asked you for bread, how many would give him a stone? If a son asked for fish, how many would give him a serpent? Of course, none would. Friends, we need to be able to approach the throne of God in an intimate manner. He is our Father, after all. Jesus shows us that. Also in this prayer, notice the faith of Jesus. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Jesus knows that if there was any other way, that God would make that happen. All things are possible unto thee. Friends, do we go to God with that same type of faith? Knowing that if it's His will, it's going to happen. We talked briefly this morning, friends, how we need to approach the throne of God in faith. Notice how boldly, number three, that Jesus goes before the throne of God. He says, take away this cup from me. Bold statement, isn't it? Go before God, but that you see in that as well the intimacy that he has there with the Father. He boldly goes before the throne, but then notice, even as he was bold, at the same time that he's bold going before the throne of God, he's also in submission to him. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Friends, there are many things that we can learn about prayer from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if we take nothing else away, let us remember to be intimate with our Father. To go to Him with faith and nothing wavering, as James tells us. To approach His throne boldly, but at the same time, friends, to remain in submission. Do His will, not what I will. Friends, if I would be better tomorrow than I am today concerning my prayer life, we can learn from Jesus and pray as He did. Praying unto the Father, giving praise unto Him, making petition, asking for pardon, asking for His providence on our behalf. But remembering, friends, to remain intimate with Him. Asking everything in faith, go before His throne boldly, remaining in submission. Let us strive to be better tomorrow than we are today. Put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as we think about being or building a better me, prayer is no doubt an essential part of that. Being able to approach the throne of God is such a great privilege that you and I as Christians have. To be able to take our burdens unto Him, knowing that He will help us, that He will look after His children, and that He will lift us up. Friends, we need to remember how to pray. We need to do better, most of us, in our prayer lives, taking things to God in prayer, doing as He bids us. But friends, if you're here this evening, and you don't have a relationship with God that you ought to have, maybe you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no better time than now, and to put Christ on in baptism, coming in contact with His blood so that your sins can be washed away, to rise again and walk in newness of life. Why not this very evening do that very thing? Friend, are you here? Having done that, but you've fallen away. You haven't enjoyed the proper relationship with God because you've chosen worldly things over spiritual things. Would you come home? Would you be His again, friend, so that your prayers may be heard? If you're here and you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, friends, if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.